are listening to the podcast of the White Church at the Elk River YMCA in Minnesota. Our mission is to seek Jesus, connect together, and share his love.
John's disciples follow Jesus. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 p.m. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is Christ," and he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which, when translated, is Peter. Jesus calls Philip and Nathanael. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." He then added, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man."
Good morning. It is so good to be with you all this morning. Thank you for such a warm welcome, for the gifts that you presented my first day. It is such a privilege to be here. And kids, I am so glad that you are here. Students, I'm looking forward to getting to know you and to hanging out. It is what God has done. And it is a privilege to be here this morning with you and to share part of God's ancient story, his word that is living and active. One of my favorite quotes about this is that it's not just black ink on white pages, but it's the word of the living God. We get to come this morning and share God's story together, and I have the opportunity to share a little bit of what God has done in my life and how God has shaped my story and brought me to this unexpected place. We had some good conversation around your tables about something you found in an unexpected place. I was reminiscing with my parents who are here this morning. They live in Indiana. We were talking about when I was little and I put all of my change in our cassette player in our Toyota Camry. Maybe as parents, you found something that your kids have put in an unexpected place before. God brings us often to unexpected places to be a part of his story. Will you pray with me as we get started this morning? Father God, it is so good to be in this place, gathered together as your people. I pray that your spirit would speak, God, that we would be still and listen to your word and your voice. God, we are thankful to be a part of your story and the things you are doing. We pray all this in your name. Amen. Well, this morning I want you to imagine with me that you are walking along behind this guy named John the Baptist. And if you know anything about John the Baptist, you might remember that he wore some weird clothes, like some animal furs, and he ate locusts, like bugs and honey. He was kind of strange. He showed up in the wilderness saying, "Hey, there's someone coming who you're going to want to meet." So you get interested and you start learning from him and watching and following. Imagine that you're hanging out with him and there's like kind of a strange odor. Like, I don't imagine that John the Baptist smelled particularly good. And maybe you think about the smell of shin guards when you take them off after soccer practice or hockey gear. Or I have been to middle school camp. I really enjoy being at middle school camp, there are some strange odors. If you've been there, you know. Maybe you can imagine walking along sort of this, by this murky brown river, some lush bushes and trees, and you're hanging out, and John the Baptist keeps talking about this person that you're going to want to meet. Because he can do things that no one has ever seen before. And everyone thinks that maybe John is this guy that everybody wants to meet. And he's like, no, I am not it. We're waiting for the one who is coming. We are waiting for the Lamb of God. And then, one day as you're hanging out by the river, John the Baptist turns around and he says, look, the Lamb of God. Wait, what? Like, we've been listening to you talk about this person. We've been waiting. And you just turn around and say, look, the Lamb of God? And so I imagine these two friends, Andrew and this other one, we don't really know the name of, so I want you to imagine that you are this other person in the story. He looks at him and he says, he just said that's the Lamb of God. Do you think that maybe we should, like, follow him? Let's just figure out if he's really telling us what's going on. And so I imagine they just sort of like turn. And this is a strange story. Sometimes I think that we read Bible stories as if they're very normal, right? Like they were walking along and they said, look, the Lamb of God. And they decided, well, we should follow him. This seems a little strange to me. Like, did they have a plan? Like, did they know what they were going to say? When this guy realized that there were two people walking behind him? This is what I wonder. So man, you're there with Andrew and you're walking along and you just start following this guy who you believe to be the Lamb of God, the one that John the Baptist has been talking about. Your sandals are like grime. You've got like grime embedded in your feet. Whenever I go on adventures, I like to wear my orange chacos, these sandals that I really like. And so I imagine I'm wearing my orange chacos and I'm following behind. And then I wonder if you start to get nervous because you realize that you might have to say something when this person realizes that you're following him. Have you ever seen someone famous, maybe in an airport or something, and you like nudge your friend, you're like, is that so-and-so? And then you just decide to like sort of sneak, like they're never going to notice if we just start following them. He turns around and he says, what do you want? Some translations say, what are you looking for? Or what are you seeking? And I don't imagine that this was a tone that Jesus used that was like, you know, when somebody's following you around and it's like kind of annoying and you turn around like, what do you want? Like, I don't imagine that it was like that. I imagine it was more of this genuine question. Jesus turns around and he says, what do you want? What are you looking for? In the book of John, we often see that he uses sort of double meanings or play on words as he's writing this gospel, this story out. I think that's part of what's happening here is when Jesus turns around, he's not only asking them, like, what do you want, like, right now in this moment? Like, why did you decide to turn around from where you were following John the Baptist and start following me down the street? It's sort of this right now in the moment question, but it was also a question of what are you looking for in life? What are you seeking after? What are you looking for to fulfill you, to bring you joy? What do you want? So as we look at this story, stay in this story. We're going to pick up in the part of our reading today in verse 35. It says, the next day John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. And Jesus asked, what do you want? And the disciples respond this way. They say, Rabbi, which means teacher, Where are you staying? I wonder if they had figured out this question. Like, did they know what they were going to ask him when he eventually figured out that they were following him? They say, where are you staying? There's kind of another double meaning here with the word stay. And it's late in the afternoon, so it's very possible the disciples like literally needed a place to stay. And they wanted to know where they could stay with this person who they believed to be the Lamb of God. But it's also a term that reminds us of this permanent remaining or abiding. Think of John 15, just says, abide in me, stay with me. You say, where are you staying? And they had this desire to be in the presence of Jesus. They also wanted to have some idea of where they were going. Okay, so we started walking behind this person, but now we need to figure out where we're actually going to stay for the night. And Jesus' response is, come and you will see. So they went and they saw and they spent that day with him, and it was about 4 PM. You notice here that Jesus doesn't give them any information. He just invites them. He gives an invitation instead of information. Come and see, the power of three words, an invitation that would not only let them see where he was staying, but would give them a glimpse of spiritual insight that would change their lives forever. There was no theological explanations, but simply an invitation to be with Jesus. Come and see. It is as if Jesus is asking them in this moment to trust, to just take one step at a time, both literally and figuratively. By inviting the disciples to come and see, he's essentially saying, will you follow me without knowing where you are going? Will you go without knowing? The disciples respond to Jesus' invitation, not having any idea what they were getting themselves into, and they spend the rest of the day with him. And as I read this, I see such a sense of adventure, so much freedom to just follow. I don't know about you, but I like to know what's next. I like to have a plan. One of the first things I did this week in the office was to make a schedule for student ministry. I like to know what the next thing is. And what we see in the disciples, what I want to grow in, what I want to be, is this willingness to abandon all plans in order to go and see and stay with Jesus wherever he is and whatever he's doing. And I would love to know what really happened. Like, we don't have a whole lot of information after this point in the story about what Jesus said to him or how they were responding or interacting. But we know that they simply responded to Jesus' invitation to come and see. And it transformed their lives by just being in his presence. So we see that in this transformation, Andrew, one of the people who was walking behind Jesus, said, I need to go get my brother. Couldn't keep it to himself. I have to go tell someone else about this person that I've just met and how he has changed my life. It says, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and followed Jesus. And the first thing he did was find his brother and say, we have found the Messiah. That is the Christ. In this short time together, said, we have found the one that John the Baptist was talking about. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which when translated is Peter. Andrew finds Simon, but as soon as he meets Jesus, his identity is forever changed. This happens on several occasions in Scripture, as you might know, and it reminds us that when we meet Jesus, we find out our true identity. One of my favorite authors, James Brian Smith, writes this. God is in the business of changing names. Abram to Abraham, Saul to Paul, and he changes your name and mine from sinner to saint, from being a person living in isolation to a person in whom Christ dwells. He takes that which is broken and mends it by his grace. And he reaches out to others through those places where his grace is most visible in us. He changes your name and mine. When we meet Jesus, when we say yes to this invitation to come and see, our lives are forever changed, and we cannot help but go and tell others and invite them into what God is doing. So we look, and the second section that we read, Jesus initiates with Philip. Jesus finds Philip, and he says, "Follow me." Again, there is no sense of information, no strategic plan, no place where they can figure out, okay, well, here's what's going next. Philip's reaction, however, is similar to that of Andrew's. Philip is so radically changed by meeting Jesus that he goes and he tells his friend Nathaniel. So the way the story is going, you might expect Nathaniel to just jump on board and say, "All right, well, I'll come and see. Let's go." And instead, he looks at him and he says, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" He's like, "I am not buying into this as quickly as you all. Like, we have been waiting for this. We know a lot of texts from the Old Testament that tell us what this person's supposed to be like. Nazareth, nope." While this might be a genuine question, it is one that reminds us that there is room for doubt and questions in our relationship with Jesus. In the invitation, Jesus doesn't expect us to just simply become robots and just follow whatever he says. He is in relationship with us, and in relationship, there are doubts and questions and concerns. My favorite quotes comes from Fuller Institute, and they say that doubt isn't toxic to faith. Doubt isn't toxic to faith, but silence is. We stop asking the questions. And so when Nathaniel decides, okay, well, I've still got all these questions. I really don't know if I buy into this, but he comes anyway. He does respond to the invitation to just simply come and see. So he comes to Jesus. And Jesus sees him, and he validates his question. And he invites him in the midst of his questions. And after a brief conversation, Nathanael feels known and understood, and then he declares who Jesus truly is, the Son of God, the King of Israel. Jesus, the King, meets us in unexpected places and extends that same invitation to us today. Come and see. Come and see who you are in me. Come and see a place where you will never be alone. You will always be loved, always have a place to belong, and this will be your mission, to invite others to come and see. And as I come this morning, this is my heart, to abide, to stay with Jesus wherever he is, and to invite others to come and see what he is doing. And I admit that I often don't do this perfectly. I admit that often, like Nathaniel, I approach God's invitations with questions and skepticism. And I also admit that I never expected to be here this morning in a YMCA preaching to you all and being with you in ministry. But what I've learned in following Jesus and what I continue to learn is that it's always an adventure where the unexpected happens. And you can ask any number of people here. Kurt and Barb have been involved. Kurt and Barb did our premarital counseling, and that started like long before we even had conversation about my coming to the Y Church. But you can ask them, you can ask anyone. I had a lot of questions about this process. I was a little bit more like Nathaniel, like, I don't know if this is really what God is inviting me to. But through a lot of prayer and a lot of patience and a lot of continuing to ask this question, I sense that God was also asking me a question. He's asking me, "Megan, will you go without knowing? Will you go without knowing? He asks the disciples in this passage, what are you looking for? When he says, come and see, it's as if he's asking them to step out in trust and to say, will you go without knowing? Jesus first invited me to come and see when I was about 3 years old. Just want to give you a little bit of context from with who I am and where I've come from. This is taken at a family church picnic when my dad was a youth pastor in Illinois. And my little sister Emily and my little brother David, my parents, and obviously we've changed a little bit since this picture was taken. But this was a place where Jesus used to shape me and help me learn and grow as a kid. Kids, you are never too young. There's no age bracket in this passage. It says, follow me if you are 14 years old. We get to follow Jesus at any age. And so we were in the back of Prince Vinny van, and I asked Mom if I could talk to Jesus and if I could invite him into my life. And my parents have been encouraging me in my faith ever since. Camping ministry is also close to my heart. My call to serve in ministry began at a camp when I was a freshman in high school. My dad was on staff there, and we had the opportunity to work together. Being on summer staff really shaped who I am, and it was here that God began to refine my call, and I had opportunities to learn and lead. And by my junior year of college, I was ready to say yes to God's invitation to be a part of youth ministry. So like Bjorn said, I graduated from Taylor, which is a really tiny school, literally in the middle of cornfields in Indiana. And then I came to Bethel Seminary. First time in Minnesota was pretty much like driving in to move into school. And I spent 3 years there and then moved back to Indiana where I did youth ministry for a little while. I have been serving in youth ministry and I have a heart and a passion to see students come to know Jesus in a personal way. About 4 years ago, I sensed God leading me back to Minnesota and I wanted to come back. And so I started serving at Calvary Lutheran Church and I met my husband, Jeff, there and we were married just a few weeks ago. And we just got our pictures back so I couldn't help but show you one. It has been such a privilege to say yes to this invitation together. As Jeff and I were praying through things and I was asking all of these questions, one evening we were in the kitchen talking, Jeff brought down this little devotional, and at the top of the page it said, will you go without knowing? And I had the same question written at the top of one of my journals because we had read the same devotional at work a month or two before. So I'm so thankful for his partnership and for the ways that God has called us to this place to say yes, to go without knowing. And when I talked to Sonia at the campus center back in April at Bethel, I felt like God initiated something. And he used Sonia and Kurt and Barb and Bjorn and all of these people, the Y Church personnel team, the leadership team. He's used all of these people to say, come and see. Come and see what I'm doing. And it became evident that this was indeed an invitation of Jesus. So I want to close today with two questions. I want to ask you, what is God inviting you to today? Is it something that he is asking you to step out of your comfort zone, something that feels like uncharted territory for you or your family? It could be any number of things. It could be something that feels like a major change, like getting married or changing jobs or moving. Or it could be something that might not feel major, but it is just as significant in your walk with Jesus. Maybe it's stepping out and saying, I want to be part of student ministry this year. Or I want to be part of a Y group. Or I want to invite that person at my workplace or my school. I want to invite them to come and see what God is doing. He's sitting down and having a conversation. He's saying yes to having coffee with someone. Because when Who is God inviting you to ask to come and see both who he is and what he is doing? Because when we have an encounter with Jesus, it is transformational and it should prompt us to go and invite others. Perhaps the most powerful place to start is to have a conversation and to tell pieces of the story of what God has done in your own life. Will you be close enough to Jesus to hear him when he says, "What are you looking for?" Will you be following close enough behind him on that dusty road to hear him look at you and say, "What are you looking for?" Maybe that's the first step. Maybe for you this morning, it's part of just being close enough, saying, "Okay, I'm just going," and not in like a strange sort of way, but just like I'm just going to listen. I'm going to be in his word. I'm going to gather with people who know him. I'm going to start paying attention to Jesus and seeing if you ask him a question, "What do you want?" And will you trust him enough to respond when he says, "Come and see"? Will you go without knowing? There's a hymn that says, it's called, "I'll Go Where You Want Me to Go." As they were reading the story of Ruth this morning, this sounded very familiar. It says, "It may not be on the mountain's height or over the stormy sea. It may not be at the battle's front. My Lord will have need of me. But if by a still small voice he calls to paths I do not know, I'll answer, dear Lord, with my hand in thine. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, or mountain or plain or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be." May this be our prayer today. May we be willing to go where he wants us to go. May we set aside our own fears and desire for control, our own ambitions and comfort, to step into what God is doing. May we go without knowing. There's something that God is inviting you to say yes to this morning. If you just are feeling that nudge to come and see, you want someone to pray about that with you and for you. If there's something else going on in your life that feels more like a hard invitation. It feels like something difficult. You're wondering, God, where are you in the midst of this? Maybe you have some questions or some doubts. You need to bring those to Jesus this morning. We have a prayer team here who would love to pray with you and for you. Will you join us as we sing together in worship?
Thanks for listening to the Y Church podcast. For more information about the Y Church, check us out online at theychurch.org.